let's revert to our weekly Lenten series, What's It All About? Trying to get meaning on the deeper issues of life. And it's a great pleasure to welcome former TV presenter who has spent time in India, who is committed to her own Church of Ireland religion, the inimitable Bibi Baskin. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Tell me about your relationship with religion.
Oh, it began when I was 8 years old and my mother forced me to play the organ in the Church of Ireland Church in Donegal. I hated it. And there I was, pumping away on this little harmonium thing. And then at 15, I remember buying a copy of the Bhagavad Gita, which is the Hindu Bible, you could say, and also the Tao Te Ching of China. Now, coming out of border county Protestantism, which the word liberal doesn't really come into, of course, I hadn't a clue what all of that was about. And I think probably soon after that, I became an atheist, which I was for most of my adult life. But I'm Church of Ireland again.
So what do you believe now?
How long do we have? My goodness. Specifically, what would you like me to talk about?
Do you believe there's a God?
I really would like to think that there is, but at times the jury is out on that one. Then you might think about the afterlife, I suppose. That's another very
Indeed.
Important question. I think it's going to go one of two ways. Either it's complete oblivion, or else it'll be a whole different experience, which I anticipate would be peaceful. I mean, no credit card bills sort of thing, if you know what I mean. I think it could be very peaceful and enjoyable.
And spirituality?
Yes, I don't practice any form of traditional religion, nor have I done for decades. But I do. I pray, for example, not in the traditional way, but I pray every day, insofar as that because I have a huge interest in wellness, and the definition of that meaning health of the mind and the body and the spirit, I always take time in a day to just be grateful. Sometimes I don't know who I'm talking to, but I just put it out there in my head to be grateful for the great life that I have. I might think of good friends, nice food. I would think of the homeless and what they don't have.
You spent more than 15 years in India. Yeah. Tell us about Hinduism and its spirituality and beliefs.
It's for me a very complex and not a very attractive religion. I don't know that much about it. I actually lived in an area where there were a great many Christians. But what I noticed is, and I remember reading this years ago, it was a French writer who talked about the influence of the majority culture on the minority. So the Hindus were in the majority, even in that area. And I did notice that the Christian people I met and worked with would very often take on some of their beliefs, in a sense. For example, the whole business of death, I have a terrible difficulty with that still.
Well, reincarnation they believe in, don't
they?
They do. And what might you come back as?
Me?
No, in the Hindu faith.
Oh, it depends on how well you've lived this life. Yeah, if you've lived
Explain
very well.
Explain that to me.
Well, if you've lived very well and done good and noble things, which can include making a lot of money, actually, strangely for us, you then come back as something that's superior in the caste system. And if you've been a right old bugger, you'll probably come back as a snake, and deservedly so.
So what type of creature would you come back as if you've been great and good and kind?
I have no idea.
Well, butterfly, and then what happens to you when you die as a butterfly?
Well, then it's kind of all over again, and then you have to start at wherever you're at in the whole system.
Okay.
But you know what I find really interesting and very difficult of that Indian experience in this context? We have a really, as Westerners, we have a really difficult relationship with death. We can't handle it very easily, and I certainly can't, because my father died very suddenly when I was 6. He took me for a walk one day after school at about 4 o'clock, and he was dead at 6, the same day.
And what impact did that have on you?
It means I never plan. I never plan. And that's why you see me hopping around the world and hopping from job to job and career to career. How could you plan after that? But the Indian...
Do you think that shaped your life?
Oh, completely and utterly.
But it was beyond your control.
Yeah. But it taught me that nothing lasts forever. It taught me that you can't rely on things to last forever.
Made you grow up quicker?
I'm not sure if it did that or not, but I know it's had a lasting effect.
Now, I'm not pronouncing this word, I'm sure. Ayurveda? What is it?
Ayurveda. It's a wellness system, an Indian wellness system that goes back 5,000 years. And it's the reason that I went to India. I had discovered it here in Ireland ages ago. And I went to learn more about it. And for me, the interest there is not so much in the spiritual, but in the psychological. It means, Ivan, that I can read you the minute I walk through the door. Because it's a mind-body system, and in the whole world...
But when you're a poser like me, how could you possibly read?
Because we can see through that shit.
Well, okay, so see through it. What do you see there?
Oh, I think I see a bit of a hardened jaw of a politician whose edges need to be smoothed and softened a little bit.
Okay.
Dear.
So, no, but what does the Ayurveda teach you?
It teaches.
Is it like psychology? Psychology.
It's not just pop psychology. It's not just psychology. It has a whole medical thing in it as well. I mean, when I lived in India, let's say I had a pain in my back or something, I could go to a normal Western style doctor or I could go to an Ayurvedic doctor. So it's absolutely official over there. But for me, the interest is not so much in the medical side, but the psychological side. Because
is it like yoga? Like is it meditation and finding peace? Is it like mindfulness?
No, it's not just that. I mean, there's all of that in it, but it's not just that. It teaches me to kind of diagnose personalities immediately.
That sounds like kind of shrink territory.
Yeah, but I wouldn't call it that. It's very valid and it works very well.
Okay, and what benefits does it give you?
Gives me an insight.
People to steer clear of, or what?
Yeah, and the mean buggers who won't spend any money, I would know the type of them. And the impatient ones, which I used to be, but India knocked that shit out of me fairly lively because they're a very gentle and nice and slow-moving people. So there are a lot of benefits in it for me.
Okay. Are you afraid of dying?
No. What is the point in being afraid of something that you can't control? Answer me that. There is no point.
Okay. So do you believe there's some sort of consolation there?
I think, as I said to you there earlier, it'll either be oblivion, which has its merits, although I'd love to live for a long, long time. An awful lot of stuff I'd still like to learn. It'll be that, or I think it will be very peaceful.
Do you think we're respectful of religion or that we're losing that in terms of if someone doesn't believe, and I'm thinking about younger generations, they can be kind of utterly dismissive of those who do believe. Do you think we're becoming less tolerant?
I think so, definitely. But that's, I suppose, as a result of the secularization of our society. And young people will be intolerant and a bit, you know, poo-pooing things anyway. So it's to be expected.
And you said that you're still a practicing member of the Church of Ireland.
Well, that's what I would put down on a census form.
But do you go to
church? No, I don't go to church. No, right. I haven't been to church for years.
And would you pray on a daily basis?
Yeah.
And I was a bit lost at one point when I kind of was staring at who you pray to.
I pray to Jesus and I pray to God.
Okay, let's look at Jesus, because this is the week of Good Friday.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the story of Jesus proved? Was it the ascension? Was it that he was the Son of God? Was it that he died for us? Or that just he was this messianic figure that made a big impact?
Well, I'm no theologian, and I think definitely he was the latter, a messianic figure who had a great impact, who was a great orator. But I think, and I really, because I'm not a theologian, I'm not sure I should even be talking about it. But I think that
But you don't have to be a theologian to be a believer.
No, you don't, not at all. Not at all.
So don't let that hold you back, okay?
No. But a lot of the stories, I think, need an interpretation that makes them more acceptable to the modern mind. I mean, the society that I grew up in the very conservative north of Ireland, would have had me believe that Adam and Eve really did exist in a garden somewhere.
Whereas you don't believe that now, do you?
Oh, for God's sakes, would you stop it? Fairy tales. Fairy tales.
And how do you relate humanity to the universe and the infinite nature of the universe?
How do you mean humanity to the universe?
Well, just, I mean, like, are we a different species? Are we, different to dogs or animals that die?
Yeah, of course we are. We're a different part of the chain, of course.
And that entitles us to what? as guardians, a species,
to be custodians, to make decisions that are right and noble and honourable, as best we can, as mere mortals.
And do you find that as people get older, their attitudes to religion change? In other words, that I'm going to be cynical now for a moment, but that as you inch nearer to death, you're sort of taking out an insurance policy and say, well, just in case this is true, I better be a bit devout.
Is that what's happening to you?
No. But I'm asking, does it happen to other people?
You really want to ask, has it happened to me? I came back to the Church of Ireland because it was very difficult to survive socially and run a business in India if you didn't believe in God. So I had to reconsider the whole thing. I never met an atheist in India. And the whole concept of fatalism is hugely important at every level to everybody. So you'd have fellas working for you who'd make the most ridiculous decisions based on fate, that no matter what decision they made, God intended it. I couldn't quite take it that far, but it got me rethinking the whole thing. And with regard to getting older, I think some people probably do that because there are certain occasions in life where people go back to God again. And it's mostly when they're scared. You know, the little deals you'll make. God, if you bring me through this, I'll go to church every Sunday for the next month, you know? And death could be one of those, yeah, I would think so.
Do you think organized religion gets a bad rap?
I do think it gets a bad rap. And I think it's very unfair because there are those listeners of yours here this evening who are devout. They can be Muslims, they can be Christians, they can be anything, but they should not be offended. I always say, this simple, to each his own.
All right. On that note, I want to thank B.B. Baskin, a former TV presenter, and lots more, giving her insights into Hinduism, her own beliefs, and her membership of the Church of Ireland. Thank you indeed.
Thank you.
Part of our series of What's It All About. We'll have a preview of Off the Ball next.